With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Welcome back to the Combine in Indy. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, and a special guest with us. He's a frequent visitor to our show. He's a familiar face for our viewers and listeners. He is the analyst and executive producer of NFL Matchup on ESPN, longtime senior producer at NFL Films. Happy to have Greg Cosell with us. You've been lurking around us.
I have.
All week,
I have.
And it's great to finally
get you
sitting down.
I know. Murph, Steve, how's it going?
Going great.
Great.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned Henry Ruggs.
Yes.
You know, and he ran a 4.27, I guess.
Yes.
You know, and I've been coming to the Combine for a long time, so I think my first year was late 90s,
right?
And I was trying to meet people. I didn't really know anybody. Steve Sable told me back then, he said, you know, you should be going to the Combine. So I came to the Combine. So I'm just, you know, it was a whole different deal then anyway, obviously.
Right.
But yeah. So I come, and I'm sitting with a whole bunch of scouts just trying to meet people, and there's this old-time scout, and you can appreciate this, Steve. He's probably 65, 70 years old, and he was from the South, so he had the, you know, the Southern accent. And he turned to me, and he said, you know, son, you know what the 40 tells you? He says, it tells you that fast guys run fast and slow guys run slow. And I never forgot that.
True.
And you know
That's
what? Right. It didn't matter what Henry Ruggs ran.
Yeah.
Because you know what? He's fast.
He's fast. Yeah. And he plays fast.
And he plays fast.
Well, we were talking earlier today about the record holder, John Ross.
Right.
So what he ran, you know, set the record 3 years ago. He can barely hang on to his spot in the league, right?
No, and there's no question that 40 times, particularly for receivers, can be well overrated or too much influence given to them. And I think we do that because the 40 time for wideouts is like, you know, I guess it's almost like the swimsuit competition used to be for Miss America. You know,
look good in a swimsuit.
Yeah, you know, yeah. People put so much onto the 40-yard dash, and if a guy runs well, all of a sudden, I mean, it's so funny because, you know, we're all on Twitter these days because we sort of have to be, and it's so funny to see if a guy runs well and you go on Twitter and some, you know, draft guru says, well, I had this guy in the fourth round, and after that 40, I just moved him up into early in the second round.
Right.
It's so ridiculous.
Right. And that's, what people are going to do with, like, Chase Claypool.
I know.
Who's big, huge, strong, and he ran a 4.42, but they're still going to go watch the exact same film they would have if he had run a 4.5.
Let's hope that they're doing that.
Right.
Because this is really about playing football.
Right.
With Greg Cosell, but you can take calls, right, from people who might have seen somebody last night they want to ask about, right? Can you do that for
Sure.
Us?
I mean, if I've seen them on tape, I'll certainly be able to have a better answer. If I haven't, I'll just tell you.
Yeah.
That's
so
the way it goes.
If you have a comment or question for Greg, dial us up, 803-0550, toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. And that's an important part of what we should talk about today. And you mentioned to me the other day, not that you're just getting started on this, but you haven't looked at everybody's film, right?
No, and again, as you guys know, because of my NFL job doing the matchup show,
right,
I don't really start watching college players until after the Super Bowl. So at this point, I've seen 11 quarterbacks, 22 receivers. Claypool was not one that I've gotten to yet. And I've seen a number of the higher-end defensive players. But given that receivers worked last night, I've seen 22 receivers on tape.
What did you see last night? Who jumped out at you in the receiver group?
Well, one receiver that I really liked on tape, so I was interested to see him, and he actually did very well, was Denzel Mims out of Baylor.
Okay.
6'3", 216 pounds. You know, it's funny, watching his tape, I didn't think he was track speed fast, although he ran, I guess, a 4.4 and a 4.39, which at 6'3", 216 is pretty darn good.
Very good.
But I thought because of his stride length, he was stride length fast. And I used to struggle with that early in my career, seeing guys who were taller guys, getting a feel for whether they could be vertical receivers, because sometimes those taller guys, they don't necessarily look like they're running fast, but that stride length means a lot. They eat up a lot of ground.
I made the point earlier in the show about Calvin Johnson, and He ran the 4.35.
Right, right.
If you've ever met him or stood him, he's enormously
right,
tall.
Right,
he ran the 40 so fast, and he took 15 steps.
Yeah, I know. That. See, that's the amazing thing.
Right.
Right. Is that, guys, that to me, I remember when Randy Moss came in the league. And Randy Moss, particularly when he had free access off the line of scrimmage, you know, no one was disrupting his route, it seemed like he took three steps and he was 12 yards down the field.
Right.
And, you know, so stride length for bigger receivers matters. So, you know, a lot of times they talk about these guys who are big, like Michael Pittman is another big receiver whose tape I really liked. I think he came in at 6'4", 223, and he ran a 4.52, which for a 6'4", 223-pound guy is very, very good, in my view anyway.
Right.
And, you know, he's just a big guy with longer strides, and those guys can get vertical even though they're not burners in a strict sense.
We made the point today we were watching. You get to the point where you watch all these 40s, and you can tell the difference between a 4.5 40
no
and a 4.4 40 or 4.3 40.
You're right.
Say, oh, yeah, that was fine. But when you get those long guys, their long strides do cover a lot of ground. They don't look explosive, but effectively they are.
That's exactly right. You know who one guy who I totally missed on with that when I go back in my career and talk about taller receivers was Jordy Nelson. I remember watching him come out of Kansas State and thinking, God, you know, I don't think he's really that fast. I'm not sure he's going to get over the top of NFL corners. And then, of course, he gets in the league, and he's, I think he was 6'2",
right,
and he was able to get over the top of NFL corners. And just because he sort of had a stride and, yep, and the way in which he moved.
With Greg Cosell from Matchup, NFL Matchup on ESPN, senior producer at NFL Films. Phone lines open if you have a comment or question, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. One of the big receivers in this class, T. Higgins, didn't do anything last night. But
no.
What if you watch him on video,
yes,
what do you think?
I really like T. Higgins. He's long. He's athletic. He's got a tremendous catching radius. He catches everything and can catch balls away from his frame, which I think is really important in the NFL. I'm sure he'll run at his pro day. My guess is he'll be one of those 4.51 guys. He's not going to run a 4.4. But, you know, I went back, and sometimes it's very instructive to look at really the top NFL receivers and go back and look at what they ran. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at someone like DeAndre Hopkins ran, I think, a 4.57. I think Michael Thomas ran a 4.55, somewhere in that area. And, you know, T. Higgins is almost 6'4", 216, a lean, athletic-looking guy. I think T. Higgins has a chance to be a really good player.
Yeah, we've also heard, and we've had other guys, and your cohort, Matt Bowen, told us he likes Jerry Jeudy maybe more than any receiver
in
this draft. I mean, he thinks it's Jerry Jeudy and then everybody else. Is it that big a separation
for
you?
To me, it is, and I know others disagree, and that's, hey, I like to think, you know, reasonable people can disagree, and that's okay. But I think Jerry Jeudy, just his explosive movement, his ability to run routes, he's very refined and advanced for a college receiver in his understanding of how to run routes and set up corners or safeties depending on where he's lined up. He lines up both in the slot, he lines up outside. It's funny, you know, he's not a burner. I think he ran his first time was 4.46, his second time was worse, but then you watch him in the drills and just the way he moves as a route runner, he's efficient.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny because I was sitting with a coach and the first thing the coach said to me was, no wasted steps.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're a receiver. That means so much because these guys who waste steps, they could be 4.2 guys, and there's not, you know, I'm exaggerating,
right,
but then they cover themselves because they start, they're too much wasted motion.
Right, and that's one of the reasons, too. We talked to Bucky Brooks here, and I've told Murph this as well. When you get the 4.5 guys in there, a lot of times they get better separation than the faster guys because in the NFL and putting your play football instead of just run 40s, you got to stop hard.
Correct.
And when you're going at a 4.2 pace, it takes you 6 or 7 steps to stop.
Right.
Even when you're just trying to stop hard.
Right.
But when you're a 4.5 guy, sometimes you can get it done in 3 steps, turn and change directions and explode out of the break. And that's why I think it's almost, you can see why most of these guys have more success at the pro level than maybe the guys who catch our eye at the combine.
Yeah, and that's why you have to be careful about 40 times, Murph. I think it's fun, and it's great to talk about. And, you know, the kid from LSU, Justin Jefferson, ran faster than people thought. He ran a 4.4, and you watch his tape, and I like the player on tape, but he's not a vertical receiver. So the fact that he ran a 4.4, that's not going to change what he is on tape. He's not all of a sudden going to be John Brown because he ran a 4.4. He's, you know, it's nice that he ran that, but he's a certain kind of player, and he's good at that, but he's not all of a sudden a vertical guy because he ran a 4.4. before.
Greg, let me ask you one more receiver question. It's kind of a taste of our Twitter poll today. Would it be a mistake for the Buffalo Bills not to choose a wide receiver with their first pick on draft day? You know what they need. You know how the Bills are made now.
You know, the reason that's a hard –
It's a hard question. I specialize in that question.
Let me answer that this way. I think every team does a draft board. Okay, here's the deal. The Bills pick where?
22,
okay. So it's every team has specific needs. But let's say you get to 22 and you say, you know, we really want to get a receiver, you know, in the first round. But the next highest rated receiver on your board is rated 34 on your board. And I'm just, you know, playing this out. You can't take him at 22 because that's not the way the draft works, and that's not the reason you do draft boards. Now, if you have a receiver that's rated 25th, you can take him at 22. But you have to stick to some degree to how you rate the players, because that's how teams get in trouble when they just – take a player they don't have rated that highly because it is a position of need. Now, my guess is they'll come away with a receiver or two in this draft, and maybe it will be a 22 if there's a guy there that they have rated at that point.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to is how they look at it. And plus, and this may be a better question, how many quarterbacks do you see in this draft with all the sparkly lights in the quarter? Because what happens is you pick those positions that are the most coveted, the edge rushers, the corners, and quarterbacks, of course. There's some people telling us maybe there's going to be five guys picked in the first round at quarterback. So that means there's not room to pick all the offensive tackles, all the corners, all the wide receivers. Some of these guys are going to trickle down to 22, and there may be another position where you can get an elite guy at 22.
Right, and I think that's part of it. Look, it's a deep receiver draft. The thing about receivers is they come in all shapes and sizes, which is why it's very hard to make lists of receivers. And then it becomes an organizational decision as to what you're looking for.
Right.
You know, you can say, hey, look, if Henry Ruggs is there as 22, do you take Henry Ruggs? I happen to like Henry Ruggs a lot, but do you view him as a similar style player as John Brown?
Right.
Or, you know, or would you prefer to get, you know, one of the bigger receivers, you know, one of the guys who's 6'3", you know, do you want one of those guys? You know, are you looking for a pure slot? You know, do you think, hey, maybe K.J. Hamler is there in the second round, and we really like him out of Penn State because we want a slot? So sometimes receivers are taken based on the kind of offense you run and the needs within that specific kind of offense.
With Greg Cosell, he is executive producer, analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN. Phone lines open if you have a comment or a question, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Let me switch gears on you and go to quarterbacks for a second. Herbert, the star at quarterback last night, from what you saw?
Well, you know what? It's funny. I mean, Herbert and Eason were in the first group.
Yep.
And to me, the combine is made for them because these guys are big arm guys. They're easy throwers of the football. They're effortless. They don't exert much energy. The ball jumps out of their hands. You know, so when you watch guys throwing shorts and a T-shirt, they look pretty darn good throwing a football. You know, so yeah. I mean, did Herbert look really good throwing the ball? He sure did because he's that kind of guy.
It sounds like you have questions about him, though, too.
I do have questions about Herbert.
Let's hear him.
I think to me, Herbert is a guy that is what I would call a see-it, throw-it guy, meaning that he doesn't have a great sense of timing and anticipation. I don't think he's a rhythmic ball distributor type quarterback. And in many ways, we talked about this with Josh Allen, who's improving in that area, and we saw him get better this year making those kinds of throws to Cole Beasley. But when Josh came out and through his first year, he was not really a ball distributor. You know, he was not a rhythmic player, and he's still working to get better in that regard. I see Herbert much the same way. And Herbert, much like Josh, is a little erratic with his ball placement at times.
Yeah, and I think that's you find out about guys, but I think one of the most interesting things for guys like us, not you so much, but you get to line up all 35 of the top wide receivers up at once and compare them
right
here, right now. Their ball skills, and I think when you see them go through one at a time, you see the guys that, you know, fight it a little bit.
Right.
You see the guys that catch it as an after, they got it. I mean, the catch is easy. And the quarterbacks are the same way. This throws easy, that throws easy. And you see other guys that are kind of, you can see them bearing down, and they want, you know what I mean?
It's so funny because I noticed that last night because for the first group I was on the field, so I was standing, you know, 8 feet away, which I really like to see the ball come out of these guys' hands and to watch how they throw it. And there were certain quarterbacks in that first group where on some of those deeper throws, they were working hard to throw the ball, whereas Herbert and Eason, it was just effortless.
Yeah.
What did you think of Jordan Love, Utah State, last night?
I like Jordan Love. He's another guy that throws it very easily. He's a big kid. I think he came in at 6'4", 220, give or take. I watched his tape from 2018 and from 2019. I think he's got all the traits you look for. I think, for instance, to me, he is more of a ball distributor than Herbert. I think he's the kind of guy that can hit that back foot. The ball comes out. There's a rhythm to his game. Plus, he's got movement ability, which has become increasingly important in this league. And I think he's a really, really good prospect.
He has a chance to be one of those five quarterbacks?
Without question.
So who are the five, right? Tua and Burrow?
I think you're going to deal with Burrow, Tua, Herbert, Love, and maybe Jacob Eason.
Tell me about him. He was there last night.
Eason is a fascinating kid because, you know, 20 years ago he'd be talked about as a top five guy because he's in the Carson Palmer mold. Now, I don't think he's quite throws it like Carson, who is truly special as a thrower. But I think Eason is in that category. You know, 20 years ago, that guy's a top five pick, no questions asked.
So he's one of the in the pocket, stand there, make the decision, make the throw.
Make the throw, yeah. Now, people question some other things about him, but just the physical traits are there to be a pocket quarterback. He will succeed or fail in the NFL based on his ability to master pocket play. And he's not a statue, but he's certainly not going to be a movement guy.
You know, and we're talking about quarterbacks. We had Bucky Brooks on. You overheard it. You were sitting right over here about the post that got my attention from earlier this month. Your partner on Matchup, Matt Bowen, wrote about a similar thing. It's kind of an evolution of the quarterback position, and you almost see it happening right in front of your eyes here at the Combine. Just different style quarterbacks, different skill sets for these people that maybe they didn't get a chance 15 years ago. Right?
Well, I think what you're seeing is the idea that because defenses are so good now and so much faster, and when all said and done, the biggest mismatch on the field is still defense versus the offensive line, that now quarterbacks, the feeling is they're going to have to be able to move. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to be able to make some plays that are outside the structure of the offense, what we call second reaction plays. The big question you get with that is at what cost? Are you sacrificing precision for that? Does it matter if you're sacrificing precision? A lot of people have different points of view. What's the balance between being efficient from the pocket versus being able to make those outside of structure plays? You know, if you have a lot of team around you and you know, you can win games 24-17 because you have a really good defense and maybe a good run game, maybe you can live with the fact that your quarterback is not a really precise player. Right. But then you also get, I would answer it this way, and Steve knows this, it's still how it's coached and taught. No one rolls the ball out and says, let's run around and make plays today. It's still, hey, here's the three-step pass game. Here are the routes that go with that. Here's the five-step pass game. Here's the routes that go with that. Here's our seven-step shot play, play-action pass game. Now, do you need to have that ability to move? Yes, but I don't think you can sacrifice the other things.
Well, I think you heard Bucky and maybe you read it in the article talking about scorers versus shooters. Coaches look for, you know, basketball sense. We need guys who score. We're not going to hold them to an exacting standard of, hey, you got to take an exact five-step drop and complete this pass. And you sound like you're not sold on that.
You know, it's not that I'm not sold.
It's okay if you're not.
But I think that, well, maybe, I'm not sold on that. I still think you have to teach the position with precision.
Okay.
I think quarterback is a disciplined craft position. And I think you got to be careful. You know, I get it. Look, I watch tape all the time. And, yes, defenses are so good, and defense wins sometimes. And, yes, is it a bear defensively to, in a sense, have to defend what becomes two plays? You know, the play that's called and then the play that happens?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's brutal to do that. There's no question that has tremendous value. But I just think to what happens when – what do we say when it's third and eight? And it's blocked up perfectly, the quarterback drops back, the receiver wins by NFL standards, and the quarterback makes a bad throw. Do we just write that off and say, oh, no problem, he's going to make a runaround play later? You know, I mean.
Right.
Some people are ready to say that, though.
And again, I'm one of those people that thinks there's a lot of ways to do things. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think I'm smarter than anybody else, but I think, you know, how do you answer that question, Steve?
That's the real question because I think now in today's NFL, offensive coordinators have proven, unlike decades past,
right.
There are different ways to win.
Right.
And I think the thing that really gets difficult in today's NFL is you have to, your team, these same guys have to be able to win different ways next week.
Correct.
From week to week. You got to run it this week. So
right.
get your running
right.
game going. And we had, I can't remember the guest we had on, and you said this about your offensive line. He told us, your offensive line allows your offense to look like it was designed to look if they can win.
Right.
If your offensive line wins, your offense runs the way it's supposed to run. It looks the way it's supposed to run. If they don't win, or if one guy misses on any given play, then your quarterback, like Bucky Brooks
right.
says, has to be a scorer, not
right.
not.
And,
and you know,
I always think of the plays that never make highlights, Murph, but are so critical. And I think of a quarterback like Troy Aikman, not a runaround guy, obviously, but he was a master at when it was 3rd and 7, he did Jay Novacek for 8 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not going to be on SportsCenter. But those plays mean a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the guys that can't do that, you can't say, well, no problem, because in the fourth quarter he's going to run around and make a play. Because, first of all, you don't know that that's going to happen.
Right.
I got you. Hey, before we 20 minutes into our conversation with you, we've yet to talk about anybody on defense. Is there anybody in this draft that maybe fits the Buffalo Bills, whether it be a edge rusher or maybe a linebacker?
Well,
the Bills should
there's guys
in?
Who are really good prospects who may not be there at 22. I tell you, a player I really like, and he could theoretically be there at 22, and I'm not sure he'll be ready to play as a rookie because he's 20 years old, but I think in 2-3 years he'll be really, really good. And that's the Kalevon, I think that's how you pronounce it,
Kalevon
Chaisson from LSU.
Yeah.
He's 20 years old. He looks the part. He's an edge player who also drops into coverage, and I know that Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier love that kind of versatility. And, again, some might see him as a 3-4 outside backer, so maybe that doesn't fit, but he's just a player whose tape I really liked, plays really hard all the time, and he can bend, he's got flexibility, he's got a little bit of what we like to call that motorcycle lean as a pass mm-hmm. rusher, and because he's 20 years old, I think there's a lot to get to.
Sure.
Well, the Bills have already, the linchpin of their defense, the Bills drafted when he was 19.
Right, right.
Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that would scare him off.
No.
If he's the right
and
guy.
And I'm just saying, you know, if they were to take him, I don't want people to think, oh, this guy's stepping in week 1, he's going to get 20 sacks this
right.
year. But I think he's going to be a really good player.
I think one of the things, too, for a guy like Chaisson, the Bills might be the perfect fit because of their ability to help guys develop
right.
in their career. They've got a really nice system of being able to get guys to play better and better and
right.
better and better
right.
and better.
And maybe I'd
so
be wrong. Maybe he would be ready. Or, you know, I don't know that.
Right.
But I'm just saying he's 20 years old, which is young. But I'd really like the prospect.
Greg, it is good to see you face-to-face. We're going to get you on, I think, every week from now until the draft. 7 weeks of the draft, we'll get you on.
We love that.
Get more updates in
all
some
right.
of these positions.
Great to see
Steve,
you, man.
It was great.
Enjoy the rest of
all
it.
All right, thanks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.